Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. CPAC, C-P-A-C. Now, just those four letters bring to mind the crazy, dynamic conference it's become in recent years. Ronald Reagan first spoke as Governor Reagan in 1974. 10 years later, 1984, when he was President of the United States, he relied on the same theme, unity coupled with America's divine charge. Let's listen.
The mission of this conference is a mission of principle. It is a mission of commitment, and it must and will be a mission of victory. Color our cause with courage and confidence. We offer an optimistic society. More than 200 years after the Patriots fired that first shot heard round the world, one revolutionary idea still burns in the hearts of men and women everywhere. A society where man is not beholden to government, government is beholden to man. The difference between the path toward greater freedom or bigger government is the difference between success and failure, between opportunity and coercion, between faith in a glorious future and fear of mediocrity and despair, between respecting people as adults, each with a spark of greatness, and treating them as helpless children to be forever dependent, between a drab materialistic world where Big Brother rules by promises to special interest groups, and a world of adventure where everyday people set their sights on impossible dreams, distant stars, and the kingdom of God. We have the true message of hope for America.
So, in today's podcast, we'll listen to our 40th president at CPAC, who is speaking now with 4 years of experience as our nation's leader, and retelling his audience what exactly is the ideological foundation for America. Let's listen.
In Year of Decision, 1846, Bernard DeVoto explained what drove our ancestors to conquer the West, create a nation, and open up a continent. If you take away the dream, you take away the power of the spirit. If you take away the belief in a greater future, you cannot explain America. That we're a people who believed there was a promised land. We were a people who believed we were chosen by God to create a greater world. Well, I think we're remembering those bedrock beliefs which motivate our progress. A spirit of renewal is spreading across this land.
Oh, well, but the year is 1984, and you know what that means. The president is in campaign mode. Despite his profound popularity, the president's speeches in 1984 are filled with declarations of accomplishment created by his leadership and administration, just so no one forgets. Let's listen.
I think America is better off than we were 3 years ago because we've stopped placing our faith in more government programs. We're restoring our faith in the greatest resource this nation has, the mighty spirit of free people under God. It was you who reminded Washington that we are a government of, by, and for the people, not the other way around. It was you who said it is time to put earnings back in the hands of the people, time to put trust back in the hands of the people, time to put America back in the hands of the people. And this is what we're trying to do. Our critics are not pleased, but I hope we'll be forgiven this small observation. The spendthrifts who mangled America with the nightmare of double-digit inflation, record interest rates, unfair tax increases, too much regulation, credit controls, farm embargoes, gas lines, no growth at home, weakness abroad, and phony excuses about malaise are the last people who should be giving sermonettes about fairness and compassion. Their failures were not caused by erratic weather patterns, unusual rotations of the moon, or by the personality of my predecessor. They were caused by misguided policies and misunderstanding human nature. Believe me, you cannot create a desert, hand a person a cup of water, and call that compassion. You cannot pour billions of dollars into make-work jobs while destroying the economy that supports them and call that opportunity. And you cannot build up years of dependence on government and dare call that hope.
More about CPAC 1984 as the president compares what the Democrats feared he would do, what he did despite the Democrats, and happily, positive outcome. More right after this brief message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story. Let's listen to the president's analysis.
But apparently, nothing bothers our liberal friends. The same expertise that told them their policies must succeed convinced them that our program spelled economic Armageddon. First, they blamed the recession on our tax cuts. The trouble is, our tax cuts hadn't started yet. They also warned that when our tax program passed, America would face runaway inflation, record interest rates, and a collapse of confidence. But at least they got part of it right. Our program passed, and we witnessed. And we witnessed a collapse, all right. A collapse of inflation from 12.4 down to about 4%. A collapse of the prime interest rate from over 21% to 11%. And a new surge of confidence in stocks and bonds. They warned that decontrolling the price of oil would send the cost of gas at the pump skyrocketing. We decontrolled, and the price is lower today than it was 3 years ago when we decontrolled. And then they said that recovery couldn't come or would be too feeble to notice. Well, from strong growth in housing to autos, construction, and high technology, from a rebirth of productivity to the fastest drop in unemployment in over 30 years, we have one of the strongest recoveries in decades, and we'll keep it strong if they'll get out of the way. Pardon me if I add something here. You know, I did get a kick out of watching on TV the door-to-door campaigning in New Hampshire. I got to see some of the homes the people have been able to buy since we brought interest rates down. Incidentally, I'm sure all of you have read or seen on the air that in the month of January, our sale of new houses dropped. And dropped to a great percent, about a 9% drop below what it was the previous month. Only 688,000 new homes were sold in January. But they didn't add that that drop was only from the sales in December, and beyond that, it was the highest number that had been sold since 1979 in a single month. But our critics moan the recovery can't last. Those awful tax cuts haven't sparked business investment. Private borrowers are being crowded out of the capital markets. Well, if that's true, how did the venture capital industry raise four times as much capital in 1983 as it did in 1980? How could real fixed business investment increase by a 13% rate last year, the fastest rate in any recovery in the past 30 years? And how could funds raised in the equity markets zoom from $16.8 billion in 1982 to $36.6 billion in 1983. Still another record. Now, all this means more growth, more jobs, more opportunities, and a more competitive America.
It seems so basic, doesn't it? Why doesn't everyone get it?
The critics were wrong on inflation, wrong on interest rates, wrong on the recovery, and I believe they'll be wrong on the deficit, too. If the Congress will get spending under control. If optimism were a national disease, they'd be immune for life. Isn't it time that we said no to those who keep saying no to America? If the sourpuss set cannot believe in our nation and her people, then let them stand aside and we will get the job done. In fairness, I'll admit our critics are worried sick about the future of the economy. They're worried it might keep getting better and better. Now, those who deal in a world of numbers cannot predict the progress of the human mind, the drive and energy of the spirit, of the power of incentives. We're beginning an industrial renaissance which most experts never saw coming. It started with the 1978 capital gains tax reduction, passed over the objections of the last administration, and which was then made greater by our own tax reductions in 1981. Incentives laid the seeds for the great growth in venture capital, which helped set off the revolution in high technology, sunrise industries such as computers, microelectronics, robotics, and fiber optics. All are creating a new world of opportunities. And as our knowledge expands, business investment is stimulated to modernize older industries with the newer technologies. Dr. Robert Jastrow, chairman of the first NASA Lunar Exploration Committee, believes the potential in our high-tech industries for new jobs and economic growth is mind-boggling. A year ago, he predicted the computer industry would double in size by 1986, becoming America's biggest business. And now we're seeing the knowledge and benefits of high technology being put to use in medicine, bringing new hope to millions who suffer handicaps and disabilities. Visionaries see infinite possibilities for new economic growth in America's next frontier, space. Our challenge of building a permanently manned space station and a further exploration can open up entire new industries, products from metal alloys to life-saving medicines. These can immensely improve our environment and life on Earth. All space-related activities must begin with the transportation to get there. This is an area of American technological leadership, and I intend to make sure we keep that edge. That's why... That's why I've asked Transportation Secretary Elizabeth Dole to start immediately promoting private sector investment in commercial unmanned space boosters, the powerful rockets that carry satellites into orbit. With those boosters and a thriving commercial launch industry, American private enterprise will be blasting off toward new horizons of hope, adventure, and progress, a future that will dazzle our imaginations and lift our spirits.
Speaking of lifting spirits, we knew how he knew how to rise to the occasion. This is 8 months before a presidential election. Let's listen.
An opportunity society awaits us. We need only believe in ourselves and give men and women of faith, courage, and vision the freedom to build it. Let others run down America and seek to punish success. Let them call you greedy for not wanting government to take more and more of your earnings. Let them defend their tombstone society of wage and price guidelines, mandatory quotas, tax increases, planned shortages, and shared sacrifices. We want no part of that mess. Thank you very much. We will encourage all Americans, men and women, young and old, individuals of every race, creed, and color, to succeed and be healthy, happy, and whole. This is our goal. We see America not falling behind, but moving ahead. Our citizens not fearful and divided, but confident and united by shared values of faith, family, work, neighborhood, peace, and freedom. Fellow citizens, fellow conservatives, our time has come again. This is our moment. Let us unite shoulder to shoulder behind one mighty banner for freedom. And let us go forward from here, not with some faint hope that our cause is not yet lost. Let us go forward confident that the American people share our values and that together we will be victorious. And in those moments when we grow tired, when our struggle seems hard, remember what Eric Liddell, Scotland's Olympic champion runner, said in Chariots of Fire. He said, so where does the power come from to see the race to its end? From within. God made me for a purpose, and I will run for his pleasure. If we trust in him, keep his word, and live our lives for his pleasure, he'll give us the power we need. Power to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and to keep the faith. Thank you very much. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.